Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio on Creative Conversations. Today we have with us Sandy Holman. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Alpha. How are you doing?
Hey, I am fine. I'm fine. I'm really excited about listening and this listening session, which is sponsored by the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum and the Capital Region Creative Corps, project that we're doing with art and placemaking, and it's called Tactical Urbanism, Art and Placemaking, and we've launched this project, and part of it is that we're doing these listening sessions and interviewing cultural bearers like yourself, to come in and talk to us and give an intro about your project and how you are a cross-sector partner with the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum.
I'm
Could you take
so
a moment
excited.
To introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Sandy Holman, and I'm the director of the Culture Co-op in United in Unity. We promote systemic change, equity, inclusion, diversity, literacy, and equality education for all, and we utilize the arts constantly in the work that we do. I'm extremely excited to partner with the Sojourner Museum to make a difference in our communities through engagement and working around social justice and just meeting a lot of wonderful people on the team. So I'm really honored to be here today, too.
Well, great. I'm really glad, for having you here. And I really love the energy that you're bringing to our team. You know, just to kind of begin the conversation, can you tell us again more about yourself and how you began doing this work?
Yes. Almost now 40 years ago, it's so funny, Alpha, I keep thinking 35 and forgetting that time moves on. I decided I wanted to do something in the arena of systemic change and looking at issues that are affecting our country even today as we talk about that, and particularly affecting BIPOC communities, Black, Indigenous, people of color communities in the area of inequity and social justice. So I started the Culture Co-op. The Co-op stands for Caring, Optimistic, Open-Minded People, because it was the goal of my organization's partnering with other people and the wonderful work that we're doing even now to promote systemic change. And so over the years, with research, bringing on the front lines, working with people directly, using creative work, using knowledge, what we know about equity and what works, and promoting systemic change, we worked very hard to come up with something that would help us engage communities in ways that met their needs, and also to encourage other people to engage with people in a more visionary way, a more transformative way, and not just doing Band-Aid approaches. And so, in other words, we wanted to encourage to not just skim the surface of looking at social engagement and working towards social justice, but to go deeper and learn the things that they needed to learn so that their work would be much more impactful and effective, the policies and the visioning would be more on point, there would be more of a mind share, so that we would start to see the needle move in communities that are really suffering so much. So the premise of our work is, you know, when you think about legacies, is, you know, we want to encourage people to love themselves and others and to share power and resources. And we want to create change makers, empowered change makers, even game changers who want to make a difference and create better lives for everyone.
Oh, that's a I can't even say that's a lot, you know, because, you know, it's all compacted in the 40 years of work and dedication that you've done in this field. And it is not easy working and continuing these types of missions. You know, how we're going to look in this conversation at the intersection of, you know, art and social, you know, engagement and cultural, spiritual, and civic and social engagement, and you are at those intersections. You know, can you, you know, I'm going to separate that question and ask you this question. You know, your working relationship with Shona, how did you first meet Shona and become aware of the work that the museum is doing in the community?
Well, first of all, Shona is just an amazing, and I mean amazing with a capital A, human being. I met Shona quite a while ago because I started going to the African Marketplace, and the African Marketplace is kind of, well, it is. It's considered the Black Wall Street of Sacramento as we think about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it is a space where thriving small Black businesses, African diasporic businesses who are trying to make a difference in the community, you know, thrive and survive and offer all kinds of amazing things for the community. But they also have programming. And Shona, I met her by going to the African Marketplace, eventually falling in love, and I mean absolutely in love. You talk about art impacting people, art intersecting with social change and justice, and just sending messages without even having to speak a word. That's what Shona's artwork does. And saw one of her pieces, and this was before I think even she had the museum. My mouth just dropped. I was mesmerized. Shona is absolutely my favorite female artist. The author Wright is my favorite male artist. He's an elder, and I met him also there in that space. And Shona's work just really speaks, and I mean speaks deeply to spirit. And what is involved in social justice work and social change and using the arts to make a difference, in my opinion, it's getting down to the soul and the spirit because, you know, again, we're all comfortable staying on the surface of things. We'll go to restaurants of other cultures, wear their clothes, buy the relics that represent their cultures. But soul and spirit gets to the heart of a person. And Shona, like I said, I felt like I knew a piece of her heart and her spirit when I first saw her work. And when my father passed away, and it's a personal story, but it really, you know, weaves into everything. When my father passed away and he didn't have a lot of financial money to leave us, but he had left me, I think, you know, it was about $1,000, and I had bought a bench in his honor. And then Shona had three pieces of artwork that were outside. I'll never forget it. And she was, you know, she called them old art that she was getting rid of. And I walked out the door and I thought, oh my gosh, these are exquisite. And I asked her if she would, you know, if she would take my humble $500 for one of the pieces of her art. And she was so excited, so humble. You know, her soul and her spirit really resonates in the work that she does, which is another reason why I adore her and what she's about. She has a humility, a spirit, a love. She wants to change people's lives, and all of this is involved in social change and social justice and the intersectionality of art and life skills development and preparing people for the workforce and preparing people to survive and thrive, which is very challenging, as we know, Alpha, to do in this world today. So over time, I mean, I still have that piece. It's my most treasured piece in my house because I purchased it in honor of my father. It speaks to me all the time. I mean, any young person, any adult, any community member who sees her work is not going to leave just thinking, oh, I just saw this painting. They're going to leave having a message spoken to their soul. And it just inspires me. She and the other artists that I adore, like the author Wright, Christelle Johnson, who's a master quilt maker, you know, Marcia Carter, these are some of my favorites. They have work that makes you go, wow. And I love taking their pieces and their images, and Shona may not even know this, and I'll show them to young people and to youth, and we'll do prompts around it, you know. We'll say, what does this make you think of, you know, and what do you want to do with what this is inspiring in you? It's quite powerful, but that's how I met Shona. I'm going down a little long, but it was really, really quite sweet. She has so much that she's trying to do, and her trajectory reminded me of mine, where we have way more to do than we have time and energy to do it, but our hearts are in the right place. I also connected with her because she's been through a lot. I've been through a lot, tremendously, as far as life events and even fighting for my life. But, yes, her work is pivotal. And so working with her and the whole group, the whole team, as a partnership, meeting you, I mean, my gosh, the incredible work you do, this whole consortium of tremendous artists and committed activists and lovers of life and people, it just fuels my soul. It fuels my soul. But I'm honored to know Shona, and I encourage anyone to go and see her work, which right now is on display with many other artists at the Art of the Soul installation in Woodland, California, 625 Court Street. They have a beautiful display of art up there.
So this, how we describe kindred spirit, you know, when you run across people that have this, you know, you guys both have so much that you bring to, you know, and how bring to your missions and the work that you're doing in the community. And so sometimes when you, what you just described was a kindred spirit, you know, where you have these commonalities, you know, and you connect. And I think that that's, you know, we have to recognize those life forces, you know, in the work that we do, because it's something is, you know, you can always tell when something is in an adversity against, you know, it should run smoothly and you should connect. And that is what artists do in the work they create. Either you communicate with a viewer or your work doesn't communicate with a viewer, you know. And so that power is a gift, you know. I always say that artists are gifted, you know, and some are learned, you know, and their work is beautiful, but it's something missing. It's the soul of that artist that has to transcend onto a canvas in order to communicate to the viewer. It's how not only me, but other artists describe the work they do, and with
absolutely
that passion. And I think, and for you to sustain the cultural co-op all these years, and I know you've come across many collaborative pieces, you know, within that, in a collection of folks and people and organizations that you've worked with. You want to talk a little bit about some of those most powerful collaborations?
Yes, and I, you know,
that
first
has contributed
of all, I
love to
your how work. Yes. First of all, I want to say I loved how you, you know, just captured it in two words, kindred spirits. And as someone who really operates from the spirit and the soul, that's what makes, I think, artists like Shona and the author and Christelle and Marcia and many others that I have engaged. You're right, I've been so blessed, Alpha, over the years. You know, when I think, when I was looking at my mortality, literally, I was thinking about how blessed I've been in the work that I do, which is very challenging and difficult and tremendous. And, you know, it's the same for everyone on our team right now who's a part of this effort that we're doing in the community. I feel so blessed, the people I have come across who have been kindred spirits along the way, both on the local, national, and even international level. My work made this, it was like a catalyst of this too, because I wrote this book, you know, and when people think of the arts, they only tend to think of paint on canvas. But the arts in my worldview include dance, it's writing, it includes spoken word, it includes drama. I mean, it's very wide in its birth. And I had written a book because that's one of my particular interests is writing. And I had written a book called Grandpa Is Everything Black Bad. And it was in response to young people that I was meeting who did not want to be black. And actually, it's a part of our anti-blackness packet that we have put together. But this book ended up in a spiritual way, connecting me to many forces and people more than I ever could imagine. It went international. It obviously was a question for many cultures, this ideal of darker skin and anti-blackness that we're dealing with as a direct effect of white supremacy and the precepts of that. But this book really, really resonated, and it's still resonating. And as a result of doing, you know, that book with the art, I worked with an artist. And artists are just so blessed to have the skill set they do. And we put our minds together, and we came up with this artwork. I got invited all over the place.
Can we press the pause button right here so I can kind of, like, ask you this question? You're a writer.
Yes.
The art you're talking about as a visual artist, that you're a writer, and I always admire the depth of how writers communicate, you know, and through their words, and how writers draw pictures in everyone's mind as you're reading their words, and that's a gift too, you know what I mean, in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, admire one's, you know, like an art form that you do. And I'm glad that you segued into talking about yourself as a writer and a creative and what you do. But I just want to give you those props because, yes, we're visual artists, but we also, you know, a writer has to have that vision and words that are given to you, you know, to write and illustrate. An illustrator can't even begin to draw that picture unless you've communicated through words of the imaging that you want, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And I love what you just said because, you know, like when I look at Shona McDaniel's work, for example, I get words with every piece I look at, and I don't think I've ever even told her that. I get words with every piece I look at. Every piece of art I see, a sculpture, a painting, a mural, dance, words come to me with that, and it is quite powerful. I've used words to deal with a lot of things around social justice and the intersectionality of social change and community engagement. For example, you know, when we had some of our young African diasporic males experience police brutality, you know, I would experience, like everyone else, sort of a rage around that because it's continued over the centuries. It's only morphed into its current new form. And I would be able to get that out and express it and channel that through writing. And then sometimes I would pair with an artist, and then we would put an image to it, and then the two together would have quite an impact on community and inspiring them to do something that might make a difference. So I love that you see that, because a lot of people, when they think of the arts, they'll say to me, well, you're not really doing arts. And I disagree with that, actually, because writing is an art form, and it does create visuals and customize visuals in people's minds depending on their experience and so forth. And so I've used writing throughout the work that I do. I've partnered with incredible artists. I mean, I've always said at some point I'm going to take one of my favorite pieces that Shona McDaniels has done and write something and give it to her. But, yes, the two marry well together. And then when you use it to go into a community and you use the arts in as a foundational igniter of social change and community engagement. It pulls people in ways that it wouldn't be if you just went in there and lectured to them about a particular issue. We're facing this issue, as opposed to going into a room and giving them a prompt and having them write something and then or draw something or create something that inspires them to empower themselves to be change makers or even game changers. That's what I really want to see, is more game changers. So writing has been a part of my work. It's brought me in directly connected to people who are in the arts and people who are doing, working in our various institutions, education, political, economic. I've really been blessed, Alpha, to do this work and to learn and be humbled and learn from extraordinary artists. You showed me a picture not recently when we were on a Zoom of some art you had done, and the words were just clicking. I said, oh, my Lord, I want to see that piece closer. But she's going to think I'm crazy if I say, hey, hold that up there for 5 minutes so I can just look at it. But that's what art does to me, and that's why I love our current alignment and the project that we're trying to do, because I know it's going to move people who are tired and who feel hopeless. It's going to allow people to express feeling and emotion. It's going to allow them to go deep inside themselves and say, okay, I don't have to give up. I can have hope. What is my particular brand of artistry, our skill set, our gifting that I have that I can use to go and make a difference? And that's how art works when we're talking about social engagement and justice. And we definitely want both of those in our lives.
So with that, you have some listening sessions that are going to come up on our pop-up research station. And that pop-up research station, happens every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we'll be sending out information on that. But your listening sessions begin March 5th. And the first one is entitled Telling Our Stories Using the Arts. And, do you want to, take a few minutes to talk about, your March 5th session?
Yeah. So, again, as we've been talking, arts are very powerful in many ways, shapes, and forms. And, it's the arts that have often been left in history that let us know what a civilization was about, what may have happened in that time period. When you go way back where things started, and everything did start in Africa, for people who don't know, the arts, science, philosophy, mathematics, government, every bit of that started in Africa, including civilization itself, people itself. Going from the south to the north, not the north to the south, because people want to kind of play that game too, but we know humanity as we know it today started back then. And guess what has given us evidence of that besides the bones that have been found in the dirt? It's the art, and why we know things came from the south going north, because the development of the art, and in particular, Nubia being I like to say the parents, Nubia and what we call the Sudan today in Uganda, kind of being the parents of Kemet, or what we call Egypt today, because Egypt is a Greek name. And so the arts have preserved in them the things that we have found in archaeological digs, not only in Egypt, but all over Africa, have told stories of what may have happened during that time. And they actually left it in artistic scrolls and writings on walls, or what we call hieroglyphics, but it was called Merunetsur, by the indigenous Africans who lived there. So the art tells stories in movement, in word, in artistry, in paintings, in sculptures. I mean, the sculptures are magnificent. And so today, with our small little humble gathering, we're going to start by exploring that the role that arts can play in telling the story around social justice as well as community engagement using those arts you know, just talking a little bit and showing a few of the sculptures from the day, for example. I want to talk about that with whoever joins us today. And then showing some moving examples of people using the arts, you know, like with spoken word and dance or with music. Encourage young people and communities who are struggling or who are not being heard or who are being made to be invisible to speak and tell their stories using the arts. That's what my books do. That's what Shona's paintings do. That's what the author writes works do, your works do. They're telling stories, microcosms of stories, our feelings, our emotions, are actually historical happenings. If you go to Africa today, you will see monuments, artistic monuments that were left that tell stories. And a lot of that has been stolen from us and has been blocked out from us. And our history has been distorted and taken away and actually given a lot of credit to the Greeks, who actually were not the originators of that history but went to Africa and studied there. So we have to reclaim that as a people. That's part of creating change in how we see ourselves, but not only to make ourselves feel good, but to use that knowledge and to use the arts to express what we want to see happen in a better world for today. So I'm excited about that.
But we're going to hear more about that in depth as you talk about that on your at the cafe today. So, you know, I'll publish this, and folks can join us and hear a little bit more in depth about telling our stories using the arts. And you have three other topics that you're going to explore on April 2nd. Documenting Art History Through Museum Culture, A Beautiful Model at SoJo. On May 7th, you're scheduled to talk about social justice and community engagement, utilizing the arts to lay a foundation for change. And then on June 4th, you will be promoting systematic change, equity, social justice, and community engagement in real ways. And I'm really, really excited about being able to have you on those listening sessions to do a public think tank with the pop-up research station. And, you know, I'm always kind of giving credit for our sponsors, and one of our sponsors is the Institute for Museum and Library Services, as well as the Capital Region Creative Corps funded by the California Arts Council and the Office of Arts and Culture there in Sacramento. And they're giving us a way to fund artists that are doing this work, that are, you know, first and foremost artists that are doing this work, and then working with a cross-sector community like the organization that you are a steward of and leading the, you know, the charge. We have like a minute left in our call today, and if you want to add some final thought before actually, would you please add your organization website so folks can read more about the work that you're doing?
Sure. My website is www.cultureco-op.com. So that's cultureco-op.com. I wanted to encourage everyone to join the African Marketplace this Saturday, 2251 Florin Road in Sacramento, for Women's History Month programming and vendors and businesses and food, and go by Sojourner Truth Museum. You have to go and see it. It's absolutely amazing. And I want to thank you for having me on today. I'm excited about, again, all the work that we're doing, and encourage everyone to be artistic and make a change in their community.
And your talk begins at 1 o'clock.
Two. I will be doing a talk at 2 in the Sojourner Truth Museum, and it's called Black, Bold, and Beautiful. And we're looking forward to having women come out. Anyone who wants to come can come, so that we can talk about ways that we can take care of ourselves and make a difference in our community.
Contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.